Okay, great. This morning we're going to take kind of another look at engaging with leadership personality. Hence the title of our time here this morning. I'm curious, though, as we start, from what we looked at yesterday, okay, we looked at your personality, went through Myers-Briggs. On the one hand, I wanted to see if you had any questions as you thought about it yourself, but then also, how did things go in your group? Did you see any of the differences, personality differences, any more clearly as you're going through some of the leadership challenges and games we did yesterday?
Yes.
I hear yes, hear some nods. Okay, so yes, how? How did you see it?
You could definitely see the introverts.
Pardon me?
The introverts.
What did that look like, the introverts?
They weren't talking as much. Like, our group is almost entirely extroverts. There's, like, two or three introverts.
Uh-huh.
And they were the ones who were really quiet, and the rest of us were trying to talk everything out.
Okay, so the introverts were being quiet, and the extroverts were talking it all out.
Right.
And you had a whole group of extroverts, largely.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Did the one introvert in the group ever get a chance to speak? Yeah.
Well, there's, like, two or three, but...
Okay, great. Anybody else? Did you see that in your group? Did you see that dynamic? Yeah.
Well, also how in some activities, some people would just like jump right in and others would just kind of like stand back and like look at it first and kind of not really participate right away. But whereas other people were just like, let's just do this, especially with like the block things, triangle, tamarisk.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I was doing the tanagram building piece. Did you notice that certain people were stepping up quicker than others in the group? How did that, maybe you were one of those people. Did you notice it about yourself? If you stepped up, did you notice it about yourself? Did you go, whoa, I just realized I felt the void. We needed to do something and I stepped into it. Yeah. How about if you didn't? Did you notice that about yourself as well? There was a void and somebody else stepped in. You notice that too? Did anybody here have an idea? They basically saw the solution, but as an introvert, didn't see the opportunity to say it. Anybody here see that? Got an iffy maybe? Did you see anybody else in your group who basically... saw, hey, here's what we should do, but they weren't able to say it. There wasn't space for them to say it. Here's something I observed, and here's why I'm kind of going this way. I observed a number of groups come through, and the kind of the dominant leaders in the group immediately jumped forward and started doing the block table. They would put their hands on the blocks and start going at it, and then one of them would have an idea and would try as fast as they could to get that idea measured out. And then they kind of hit a stop. Something wouldn't work. And the other dominant leader or leaders in the group would, instead of waiting, would go, okay, let me do it. And they'd go in and they'd start going and then they would get to a place. Almost without fail, though, there was somebody in the group who was sitting there watching all this happen. It's like they had the bird's eye perspective. And after like 10 minutes... finally said, maybe we should do that. And it ended up being, I would say, it was more than 50%, somewhere in the probably 60% range. That ended up being the right, you know, the solution. Was that anybody else's experience in your group? No? Yeah? Maybe? Okay. Well, anyways, yesterday was an interesting dynamic to have gone from our leadership seminar to that experience. You're going to have more opportunities throughout this week. And so I just encourage you to just keep thinking about that. You'll start seeing it in yourself, start seeing it in others. And anyway, I hope it is a help to you. Did anyone have any questions from yesterday that we didn't really engage with and answer before we start heading off where we're going today? Yeah.
I tied on two of the categories, so I have four types. Any?
You tied on two categories?
E and I and T and F.
Okay, great. Anybody else tie or get close? Okay. That's fine if you tie. I'm really close on the S and N. And, it's probably the only one I'm really close on. There's a little further one. But that's okay. It's okay to have those. So what you do in those situations, as you're basically learning about yourself, look at both. Look at both for the strength side, and what you'll probably find, so as you're looking at your pairings, so if you're, let's just say you had one pairing different, okay? So let's say it was ESTJ, and then you would also look at the ENTJ. And often the descriptions, both in the strengths and challenges, you're just going to be going, okay, I can see how I would be strong here or weak here. You know, one's going to resonate better than the other in certain situations. But that's what, I talked with one of the leaders who said, I don't get it. Like, I'm tied on almost every category. And I was like, you're confused. I don't know. We got to figure this out. But no, that's totally fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. And that's normal. What you'll probably find, again, so I started doing it about high school age. And again, I keep doing it. I keep learning things about me. I love looking at these. Especially the challenges that we can face. I think initially I wanted to just jump in and go, okay, show me my profile, my personality of what I'm good at, right? And that's really validating. It's really validating to read in there and be like, you're the guardian leader who leads the angels over the challenge and the thing. You get the thing done and, or whatever it is. Or you're the compassionate person who cares for everyone and people feel great and you heal the nations. You know? those are great. Sometimes you see yourself in it and you go, oh, that's me, or that's who I want to be. Again, that's all fine. I just would encourage you as well to be honest with yourself and look at the challenges that you can face. So something Paul and I briefly touched on the other day, actually the question came from out there, was like in a situation like you did yesterday with your challenges. So I tend to be a dominant leader. Okay, I'm a high extrovert on this scale. I'm a dominant leader. I'm also not a feeler. I'm a thinker. Okay, so my tendency is when something's got to get done, is I'll jump in and say, okay, here's what we got to do. And you know, I may do a quick assessment of the room. Anybody got any ideas? No ideas? Okay, I got an idea. What do you think? And we just go. But I can just steamroll somebody. Like if somebody goes, I'm not sure that that's going to be like, we don't got time for that, but okay, maybe. And I'll just keep going. So what I have to know about me is, so my tendency is to not, because I'm so dominant, I kind of push people like dominoes. So in knowing that, I have to intentionally in a group have some self-awareness and self-check. And for somebody who needs a little more time or who is not so dominant, I may lead and then pull back a bit. Somebody go, okay, folks, let's go. I need a lot of ideas here. Anybody got ideas? We're going to go around the room. Let's get some ideas. You. Okay, do we need time to just grab, take a second to think about this? You know, pull back instead of going immediately right off the cuff. Those are helps for me, but they come from knowing your weakness, not necessarily knowing your strength. Does that make sense?
Want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I'll add two things. To that point, I think me understanding my weaknesses as well has been a huge help. So I'm a feeler, I'm a big F. Feelers tend to understand kind of what other people are going on. They're the ones that can kind of walk into a room and go, that person's really hurting. And then be able to go talk to them and empathize with them. It's a wonderful gift. But the flip side of it, oftentimes our gift, our strongest strengths also include our weaknesses, the other side of it. So the other side of it is that when there's any conflict that enters into a relationship or a disagreement, I'm slow to speak up because I don't want to introduce more discord into the relationship. So put that in the context of my brother and I. If John is leading and he's like, let's go, and I realize that he's going in the wrong direction, I should speak up and be kind to him. But because I'm an F, I kind of don't want to say, John, like, and introduce some discord into that relationship. But I know that's a weakness of mine. And so there's times I literally have to say, Paul, you know this, whether it's talking to him or confronting somebody else or admitting my own blame, whatnot. Like, Paul, you know you need to build, you need to say this. You know it's going to take some relational energy to do it, but it's going to be beneficial in the long run. Yeah. So that's one thing that I'll add kind of on the other side from John. Back to the test, though. If you landed on something that's tied, this test is not precise, but it'll get you generally about where you are. So if you landed at zero, you probably aren't at zero. You probably lean one way or the other. And if you took a different test, the different Myers-Briggs assessment, you probably would fall to kind of one side or the other. And the best way to do that is just, without having another test here, is just to read through the descriptions and say, which one of these matches me the best? You probably all of them have something true about you. So some, probably all of them are like maybe 50, 60% true. My hunch is that there's usually one that's 80% true, and that's gonna be you. So try to find that one.
If you wanna get your Bibles out, let me do that right now. Somebody asked me yesterday in the hallway, they said, what do you think Jesus' personality was? And Paul and I were talking about it a little bit last night. And there's all kinds of people that speculate on Jesus. Well, he was a perfect in every way, or he was, Paul had a good thing. He said, actually, Jesus being fully human meant that he had a fully human personality, not like some sort of other non-human personality. As an extrovert, here's something that... So remember I told you my wife needs time to get away and just kind of recharge her batteries without talking and being with people. And as somebody who doesn't necessarily need that, like I like to talk with all of y'all, okay? And I just like to talk. I like to talk all the time. I get paid to talk. It's great. The idea that, okay, that this is a part, it actually, this is my sin, okay? I can look at others who are taking time away to recharge and it can look like weakness for me, because that's not who I am. Here's something that struck me. Jesus was with crowds, and he was with disciples, and he was with people all the time. It was obvious that Jesus was a people person, and yet Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. Jesus got away from the disciples. He went out into the boat. He went up, you know, he got away. He took time. So that was, it was kind of a bit of a catch for me as one who's, again, way on the high east side, to remember that I can't over-glorify my own personality. And didn't you say, what's the percentage of people that said, what's Jesus' personality?
It's not a percentage, but there's a common thread in the answers. So there's a big study that said, that asked people, what do you think that Jesus' personality was? And as we went across this whole study, all these different people, there was one thing that was in common. You know what that is? And all their answers of what their assessment of Jesus. Everyone chose their own Myers-Briggs.
That's pretty cool.
Everyone wants Jesus to be just like me.
Yeah. Jesus was just like me. All right. Look at Psalm 139. So look at the Psalm 139. Almost dead center of your Bible, just a little off to the Genesis side. So we're going to, I'm gonna give you kind of here's our roadmap for today. Yesterday we looked at personality, okay? Today we're going to look at really gifts or talents, I'll call them, okay? The talents and interests that God has given you, right? Who has God made you for him, okay? And we're going to start here because I think this kind of lays the foundation for us. Well, that's what we're gonna look at. If you look here into Psalm 139, the psalmist is, he's crying out to the Lord, he's praying to the Lord, he's worshiping, and he's saying, it's a famous one for saying, Lord, you've searched me and known me, you know my inmost parts, you know everything about me, you know the good, the bad, the ugly, you know when I wake up, you know every day that I'm alive, you know every hair on my head, you know everything about me, and he's saying this back. When you get to verse 13, we're going to start in verse 13. Somebody want to read from 13 through 15?
I got it.
All right.
Reach one of my inward parts, you knit them together in my mother's
That's great. That's great. Okay, did we'll just back up. Did everybody hear what? So we're acknowledging that God formed our inmost parts, knitted us together in mother's womb, and that he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, so he's acknowledging this is how God makes us. I don't know if you're like me. When I first read this, and I've read this is one of my wife's favorite psalms. So we have kind of scripture throughout our house, so Psalm 139, and inward parts. I always think of like my intestines when I read that, or like my lungs. Like inward parts, it just sounds physical. It sounds biological. But what struck me recently is that. Everything about us, God has made, and he's made it intentionally because it's his creative thumbprint. We're made in his image. We're image bearers. So he's not only given you, okay, I'm looking out here, I'm seeing so many different types of hair, colors of hair, lengths of hair, product in hair. It's all there. Okay, but that's God's creativity. Okay, you all look so different with faces and heights, and I mean everything about you is unique, and God, I just think, okay, God is so creative. But if we take it beyond the physical, okay, we looked yesterday at personality, and to think that God actually gave you your personality, gave the person next to you that as well, and he created the whole concept of personality. He also has given you specifically in your inward parts, inside your mind and in your heart, interests, even your dreams and things that you're interested in, but then also talents. So things that you're good at, that you have capacity for, that he has, again, this is a gift to you. If you can imagine like a present, God has given you a present and said, here's what I have for you. And not everybody gets to do this, but this is what I have for you. Okay? My wife is a gifted counselor, and she did a master's in counseling. She just naturally is meeting with people, and people want to meet with her. And so she's done it in a formal and informal setting. But people are always coming to our house. She has women over all the time, and they want to talk. She's a very gifted listener. But she's also a truth teller. So she'll listen for quite a while, and then she will speak truth into somebody's life. Okay. That's one of the things that came in her package from the Lord. That's how she's made. And I'm not like that. Maybe you're like that. It's great if you are. What we want to spend some time here doing is thinking through, and we're actually going to use a tool, kind of like we did the Myers-Briggs yesterday, we're going to use a tool today, just to begin to say, okay, how's God made you? What did he give you? What's in your toolbox? What's a part of the talents and interests that God has given you? Because we're really all made, God has a calling for each one of us, and that calling it's unique for each of us, and our calling, I like to kind of summarize it this way. Our calling is really, what do you do with who you are? Okay, what do you do with who you are? So, I like to talk. I think I've said that about 50 times already. You're getting the idea. For me, to have a job that I don't talk all day, okay? I sit in a room with like one light, and like I'm a writer, or I just stare at my computer all day, I'm actually going to explode. I'm going to go postal, right, if I have that job. And so God's calling for me is to be who I am to give him glory. You guys heard of the Westminster Larger Catechism, the Catechism? It says here, what's the chief end of man? Like, what are we created for? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Do you know what that implies? If you're enjoying God forever, Are you doing things you don't want to do and you're not made for? No, you're actually doing the things that you are made for and that actually give you pleasure, and God is giving, he's smiling. It gives him pleasure too. So that's what we want to, that's what we want to look at. Part of what, in thinking about our calling, and we're going to go to talents, but I just want to paint this picture a little bit. So how many here in the room we have as juniors? Juniors? Seniors? How many seniors do we have? Got a pretty good mix. Sophomores? Okay, it's almost even mix. Okay. So one of the pressing questions, of course, as a junior, but certainly a senior, is I got college coming. And if college is coming, then we're starting to think about, what do I want to do? What do I want to study? What do I want to major in? Okay. These questions actually tie back to who you are and how God has made you. Because it's also tapping into not only what am I talented in, what am I interested in? That makes sense? Following there? So it's an important question for us to engage in. And God's given us these interests, he's given us these talents for his glory. And to bring him glory. Well, you want to speak at the Colossians?
Mm-hmm. Who's been to the Grand Canyon? Yeah. Grand Canyon? Yeah. I went to the Grand Canyon a couple years ago. It was 3 years ago now.
Switch this out. Can you use quick timeout?
Yeah.